welcome to Ray and Tay today.
Yeah. 365, 24/7. I got one life to live, but it ain't on Channel 7. I live to pray, and I'm focused every day. When they put my ashes in the ocean, I hope to be in heaven one day. Yes, 9/10, I was born a true blessing.
Welcome to the show on this frenzied Friday. A lot to get to, so let's just get right to it. You're at Ray and Tay today. I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay Eric Taylor. You want to call at 718-664-9098. The Gmail is Ray and Tay Today. The Twitter, the Facebook, it's all RaeandTayToday. Man, Ray, we got a big show. Just, plenty of topics, a lot going on in the sports world. So let us know what's happening. How are we going to hit the show off?
All right, like we do every show, we started off with breaking news. So we got breaking news in the NFL, in the NBA, in the golf world. We got Manti Te'o, we got Lance Armstrong. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of breaking news out there. Then when we settle down from getting all of our opinions out there on the breaking news, we're going to preview the AFC and the NFC championship games this weekend. What games they'll be in Atlanta and in New England. And then, at the end of the show, we're going to give you our regular Top 5 segment, Top 5 Friday, but we're going to give it another twist. It's going to be more like a fire round where we go through top players to never play or never win an NFL championship.
Never win a Super Bowl.
So hopefully your favorite player is not on that list, because it's a prestigious list of people that are Hall of Famers or borderline Hall of Famers but have never won a Super Bowl. So the closest guy we have right now on that list are Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed.
And so, Ed Reed, they're playing this weekend. Maybe they can get off that list, right?
Exactly. They're planning to get off that list. So, yeah. Hey, let's do it. Let's jump into breaking news. Let's start with the NBA.
Well, listen, let's hoop it up. And you know what? The worst record in the Western Conference belongs to my boys out here, the Phoenix Suns. And because of that, they fired and or sort of come to mutual terms to fire Alvin Gentry. Yeah, Alvin Gentry. So, you know, you could say what you want. You know, he took over after D'Antoni. He hasn't necessarily, you know, had the best roster, maybe, you know, some age, some, you know, overrated players. They made some moves this summer, and then they're not doing too good. I think they could do better than the talent. So, you know, we're waiting for who's going to be the interim, and they'll probably get a new coach next year. But, you know, they did what they had to do, I guess.
Yeah, 13-28, last in the West. They don't have the worst roster in the West. I don't love their roster, but, yeah, I think – they're making a change. I don't know why you do it mid-season, but it is
right.
What it is.
Yeah. And why don't you let us know what happened in golf, man?
Yeah, in Abu Dhabi.
Some big players
so after
are gone.
They make that great commercial, which apparently they didn't film together. I don't know if you saw it, that Nike commercial, it's hilarious with your boy Tiger and Rory, where they're hitting the golf balls and it goes into people's glasses and everything. It's really funny. You should check it out.
Right.
Anyway, the both of them missed the cut. So Rory's at +6, and Tiger had to take a two-stroke penalty, and he's at +3. So
yeah.
Justin Rose is leading at -8, but both of those guys missed the cut. It's the first time in 41 PGA Tour appearances that they – actually, this is on the European Tour, but it's the first time that they've competed together, and neither of them has made the cut. So pretty unbelievable when
wow.
The top two golf players in the world don't make the cut.
Yeah, and then also we have Venus Williams. She's gone. She lost to Sharapova. So, you know, the Australian Open is moving along, and, you know, we lose an American great, and Venus is gone. So that I thought was kind of interesting. And little football news. We'll get into the football after, you know, Lance and Manti, but just real quick, you know, Beyonce's performing at halftime. Well, they also announced the national anthem. by Alicia Keys. So this is going to be a pretty entertaining Super Bowl on CBS. Got some heavy hitters with Beyonce and Alicia.
Well, the Skew and Young, they had Tom Petty, they had The Who, they had
At least it's a little bit more current, right?
Yeah, a little bit more current.
So before we get into all the football coaches and hirings and all that stuff, I guess let's start with Lance. You know, give Oprah credit. She gets the interviews, you know, her network own. But to me, I guess it's really about, you know, Lance trying to come forward and admit to, you know, all his PED use and EPO and all that stuff. And I, only thing I can say is he sort of, not only does he come off, as he said, quote, an arrogant prick, but he's just not a likable guy. And I think when you hear all the stories of how he tried to attack anyone that spoke the truth against him, it's just kind of despicable. So I don't have too much to say about him and don't think he deserves too much time, but we have to say a little something, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing that bothers me more than anything is it's one thing to get caught. It's one thing to use performance-enhancing drugs and get caught, but the way he went after people personally and just
destroyed their lives.
Tried to destroy their lives for what it ultimately turns out to be telling the truth? Wow. I mean, really? You're going to come after me like that because the government forced me to tell the truth? That's some real shady stuff there. But anyway, let's move on from that shadiness to now we got this weirdness.
It gets weirder by the minute, though, Ray, right? I mean, everyone knows Manti Te'o and this now hoax that there was no girlfriend and that this guy, Tuiasosopo.
There was a quarterback named Tuiasosopo.
Yeah, I know.
Played for Washington, University of Washington. UW, Marcus Tuiasosopo.
Yeah.
He had a little brother, too.
Yeah, and he had a kind of an arm. I remember he was pretty good, but that this has been done, and him and their cousins from their church, they've done this to someone else that started on MySpace, and they've done it to other people. Okay, so look, everyone knows it's out there. Now he's trying to meet with his team to sort of present the right statement. That, to me, is concerning because the only statement should be the truth, right? Kind of that's where I'm at. Like, to me, I can accept that maybe you were totally naive and you're embarrassed and that you got caught up in this, but there were lies that at some point you're complicit in that you went along with it, either delaying on telling the truth or you got drunk off the fame and you like seeing yourself on TV as teammates are reporting to say, and then your dad saying, oh, you know, we met her and she could have been our daughter-in-law. So there's a lot that needs to be corrected. And I guess I want to ask you, you're an NFL executive, and some have been quoted saying, right, they'd rather have criminals than liars, which is kind of ironic and funny, but where would you and would you draft him? Because some places say 7 to 16, and some people are saying he's really a second-round talent, but the intangibles had him up higher. What's your thought about that?
So first and foremost, tell me where you think he ranks. As I would tell my scouts, tell me where you think he ranks as a football player. First and foremost, his talent, his on-the-field talent, just what you can see in game film and what you can see in the combine. So that's kind of your starting data point. Now, people moved him up because, and to me, he's barely a first-rounder. I mean, especially as he was exposed in the, maybe he's mentally, his game was off, but he was just physically outmatched in that Alabama game.
No, he couldn't even tackle Lacy.
Lacy's going to be an NFL player.
Lacy's going to be nice.
Like,
but I'm just
Lacy
saying, he couldn't handle an NFL running back. Let's just say it.
So to me, start with, are you a first-round talent just in talent? See, Mel Kiper and all these other draft experts had him ranked. I mean, Mel Kiper had him as
high
as two. And I think what happened was they took his talent, and then they said, wait a minute.
The intangibles.
This is the next coming of, you know, Ray Lewis in terms of his impact on other people, and he rubs off on people, and he makes people better. Sort of like a point guard in basketball. He's one of these guys that just rubs off on people, so they gave him that extra bump. So now I think what happens is that extra bump goes away because I don't know that, certainly not as a rookie, certainly not in your first 2-3
no,
years.
That bump is
this storm has to
now.
Pass. Grown men are not going to follow you after this kind of thing. Either
no
you were duped or you were
never,
high on the
no
fame.
Matter how it comes out, they'll never follow him, right?
It might, that might be. So then you get rid of those intangibles. Then you get rid of the leadership intangibles, and you know, for an inside linebacker, that's a big deal because you're typically going to be the guy calling the plays, getting the signals from the coaches. So then I think you get all of your intangibles removed, and then it comes down to strictly on a football, you know, I hate to say it, but like a combine level, you know, how fast do you run? Do you tackle? Do
yeah.
you have good ball skills?
Yeah.
Do you? And he's shown that he's a player, right? So I think he drops out of the first round. I think he becomes a second round player.
Second round, early second, mid second round. That's my assessment. And maybe somebody takes a leap at the very end of the first round and snatches them up just because they're like, hey, what if, you know? So, yeah. It's messy.
Yeah, let's keep it going. So let's go back to basketball. Let's talk a little bit about those. Actually, you know what? Let's go to football. Let's use
basketball.
Yeah,
we're right here, right? So let's stay with the coaches. And listen, there was 8 coaches positions filled. 6 GMs, and I got to congrats. I love Lombardi on the NFL Network, and he is now the VP player operations for the Cleveland Browns. I got to shout him out because I love him on television.
You have a killer squad there.
Ray, and
I mean,
you just let me know. They just got defensive coordinator Ray Horton and offensive coordinator North Turner with the new head coach, Chizinski. That's impressive.
That's very
the Browns
impressive.
Now just they got a team that and a lot of young, decent talent, right? Maybe they Wheaton becomes somebody. You like Gordon and Little. You love Richardson. The offensive line is solid. And the defense, they've got some players, right? Watch out for the Browns, ladies and gentlemen. Football in Ohio, it looks like it's going to be good for the next 10 years. It's headed that way. So, look, the NFL released a statement. They're basically saying, look, we've got to, you know, sort of strengthen the Rooney Rule. Improve the pool for potential GMs, VPs, even, you know, coordinators, you know, to, you know, really, really look at getting head coaches. I got to say, Horton could have been a head coach. Lovie Smith, you could argue Romeo, Winston Moss, there's some other guys. But I was kind of disappointed that Lovie didn't get a job or Ray Horton because I think they're both more than qualified.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because we had this discussion off air and 7 of the 8 head coaches came from an offensive background. And other than Jim Caldwell, who just got promoted a couple seconds ago to offensive coordinator in Baltimore, there aren't really offensive coordinators that are
minorities.
So
that's a huge issue.
A problem, and that problem has to be rectified. And I think that hopefully now that there's more black quarterbacks and then there's more, you know, interest in those coordinator positions as a stepping stone to being head coaches. Obviously, you're typically a line position, and then you're a coordinator, and then you're a head coach. So hopefully that'll resolve itself. I think next year you might see this trend the other way, and I would hope so. I would hope that Lovie Smith can come back and get a job and see a guy like Ray Horton get a head coaching job if he does a bang-up job here in Cleveland this year. But it was very interesting to see the two things. A, was no minorities, and B, the offense, that all the coaches, almost all the coaches were offensive in nature, and only the defensive coordinator from Seattle who ended
Gus
up
Bradley.
Going to – yeah, Gus Bradley
yeah.
ended up getting a head coaching job. So very much the trend is to go with offense.
Well, listen, I got a shout-out out here. I'm very excited for the Cardinals. Bruce Arians, he is the right hire. He's been in football 37 years. You know, he's worked with Luck, Roethlisberger, even with Manning before, and, you know, was the OC of the Steelers when they beat the Cardinals out here in the Super Bowl. And, you know, everybody knows that between him and Leslie Frazier for Coach of the Year and the job he did for Chuck Strong in Indianapolis. And he's just happy for a class act. He's a straight shooter, and he's old school football. So I'm so happy, and I think the Cardinals are headed in the right direction with Bruce Arians. Kind of disappointed he didn't keep Ray Horton because they already have a prior relationship, but he just felt like it was just a, you know, right for him to clean slate. And he said, and he even said, hey, Ray Horton, he's going to be a head coach in this league and should be. So Bruce Arians knows that firsthand. So that was, you know, a nice positive thing he said. Also swinging around, interesting, right? Rob Ryan, he's meeting this weekend to be the Rams defensive coordinator. And the Jets, Marty Morningwig is going to be the new Jets OC, offensive coordinator.
And then they got Idzik as the general manager.
Yes, from Seattle.
On Idzik.
So it'll be interesting to see what the Seahawks do, you know, who they bring in as a defensive coordinator to replace Gus Bradley. And for these last two jobs, for Gus Bradley and Arians, to see how quickly they can sort of fill up their staffs, because staffs are pretty much, you know, filled up. So we'll see how they and who they get as their coordinators. And then Mike Shula was promoted as OC in Carolina to replace Chudzinski. So
they have to get all that stuff in place now. You've got the East-West Shrine Game. You've got the Senior Bowl. You got to get ready.
This weekend, right? It's going to be an exciting weekend, you know, in the college football. You know, these guys getting ready for the next level for their, you know, for their careers, for their jobs. There's you know, a lot of talk about the Texas A&M running back. He's been doing great all week in practice for the East-West Shrine. And then Colin Klein is there, and let's see what he does, because he said, hey, I'm not switching positions. No one's asked me to. I am a quarterback, and I want to play quarterback. So good for him. I think he could maybe make it as a backup. Who knows? You know? So I'm interested to see what happens with that.
He's an interesting character. I actually don't think he'll make it as an NFL quarterback. Well, we'll see. Give him a shot.
Yeah, you know, you definitely got to give him a shot. Hey, listen, so before we get to the NBA All-Stars and who we think are the starters, I just got to mention a couple of great, you know, since we had Seth on, we've been talking a lot of college hoops lately. Last night, Michigan at Minnesota, great game, big win for Michigan. But I want to ask you about the games this weekend, Ray. We got some top games, Syracuse against Louisville, Ohio State against Michigan State, Indiana against Michigan State. What do you think about some of the big, you know, college basketball games?
Conference games.
You know, and even Duke winning last night.
So you know, this weekend we've got, like you said, Louisville, Syracuse. So that's 1-6, and then you've got Butler, Gonzaga. Don't forget about that.
Yeah, that's the other one.
That's the game where ESPN is going to be. They're kicking off their. Our boy Jalen Rose is going to be part of the crew. He bumped Hubert Davis. And Florida, Missouri, 10-17. Michigan State, Ohio State. You know, there's some good matchups,
even
on the West Coast. Oregon, UCLA. So
it's gonna be exciting.
You know,
man.
This is a fun time of year, because for us, football is winding down, right? Ultimately, there's only three more games. There's the two championship games, and then on Sunday there'll be only one more game, the Super Bowl. We don't really count the Pro Bowl as a real game. So.
Right.
It's about time to get into college basketball. And Louisville, Syracuse, think about it. This is a nice little matchup there. Syracuse might have the best point guard in the country, Trey Burke and he. Louisville's got some depth. Remember, the only Louisville loss
Trey
is
Burke from Michigan.
Trey Burke from Michigan. But I'm saying Louisville's point guard, Carter Williams, is fantastic. Syracuse's point guard, Carter Williams, is great. And Louisville's only loss is on a neutral court without their big men. So this team is nice. This team is nice. And Pitino,
and that's why,
you know,
Seth Davis said, you know, that's why Seth voted for Louisville number one. You know?
Well, it's funny, because I wanted Indiana to be number one, but they lost again.
And they get bumped.
This week. Yeah, they got bumped. So we'll see.
Also,
I mean,
Wisconsin's got a big game on Saturday, too. And listen, the way that they went in and beat Indiana – I like that Wisconsin team. The Big Ten is going to be tough come the tournament
Bo
Ryan's one hell of a coach, right?
More credit than he does, because he just brings it. I mean, if you gave – maybe the formula doesn't work, but if you gave Bo Ryan, you know, Roy Williams' recruits, not that North Carolina's doing great, or Mike Krzyzewski this year, or Mike Krzyzewski's recruits, I mean, he does so much with
– with less talent.
With less, you know – pure McDonald's All-America talent. I mean, this guy is just getting it done. You know, you don't want to play Wisconsin. If you see Wisconsin, if you're not from the Big Ten and you don't know, and you see Wisconsin on your schedule, so if you're picking your NCAA brackets in 2 months and you see Wisconsin, You know,
yeah, they're
A
not, they're not going to get bumped in the first round with
right.
some upset because they play
it's
ball.
It's a tough game. It's going to be a low-scoring game, and more than likely, Bo Ryan's team is tougher than your team. You may be more talented. You may be
yeah.
more athletic, but his team is tougher than your team, and so they might get you. They might get
they
you.
They definitely might. So, listen, let's talk about it. I mean, you know, we'll touch on some of the NBA games, and, you know, the Knicks are flying back from London across the pond, and they're one game behind the Heat because after they won an afternoon beating the Pistons last night, LeBron decided to go to L.A. and just dominate the Los Angeles Lakers. 37, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. Dwayne Wade does his thing on his birthday, getting 27 points. And the Heat, you know, without Bosch, right? Bosch hardly played well at all, like 7 points, a couple rebounds. But they just, they handled L.A. and did what they had to do. Howard, 13 and 16. Kobe shot horrible. But that fourth quarter, there was like a 3-minute span where Kobe and LeBron, basket for basket. It's hard to argue, right, to me, that LeBron can't be MVP every year. Even though you got Melo and Durant doing it this year. When you see LeBron play sometimes and he's as dominant as he was last night,
he's
you just throw your hands
Brady.
Up. Like,
he's Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he,
yeah,
like you said, he basically. Could be MVP every year. He's the most talented, gifted player maybe we've ever seen. So every year that he plays more than 50 games, he is going to be top three in MVP as long as he maintains his, you know, physical
health, yeah.
stature and his health and he doesn't get too old. You know, the other thing about LeBron that's amazing is I did some quick looking at the stats, and LeBron has a chance, if he can stay the way he is, young, you know, athletic, healthy, he has a chance to finish in the top five in three categories that nobody is in the top five in. He has a chance to finish in the top five in points, in the top five in assists, and in the top five in steals. So that's pretty unbelievable. The only other guy that's in the top five in two of those categories is Michael Jordan, who's number three in points and number three in steals. But
Angelo.
It's unbelievable. This guy is just unbelievable.
Yeah, he is.
He needs to
man.
Win a few more rings. And maybe he can make it all right, win a few more rings in Miami, then go back to Cleveland, and maybe win a ring.
I
got
to tell you, though,
ring.
To me, if I'm being honest, and you know, we didn't like him, but we respect the heck out of Larry Bird, LeBron gets one more ring, and I got to put him ahead of Bird.
Yes,
I
got
to. One more ring, I got to put him ahead.
I would say that.
Yeah. If I'm being honest and fair. But listen, let's break it down, the East and the West. Let's go to the East first. All-star, the fans, all of us, you, the people, your backcourt, they voted in Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, the three frontcourt players, which is the new rule change, Carmelo, congrats to the Knicks and Melo, LeBron James, and Kevin Garnett. So let's break this down, and then we'll talk about the West. For me, it should have been Lopez or Chandler. I would have gone with Chandler. You probably would have went with Lopez. But I just don't think Garnett, whose team is behind the Knicks in Brooklyn, third in the Atlantic Division, I don't think they need two starters. I can't argue with any other position, right? I mean,
right.
You can't
and,
really,
and
you know.
The good thing about the All-Star voting, ironically, is that you ended up getting a center. Even though they went to this new format of a forward, you know, three forwards, three front court people.
Right, right. Garnett
is,
does play center now, yeah.
You ended up getting a center in the East and a center in the West. So
yeah, which
at
is
least
good.
That much. Yeah, yeah. I don't like this two guards and three forwards. This isn't college.
I think they need to stop it, and maybe it will just be a one-year experiment, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see.
So
I mean, tell me,
Garnett's
why would you take
guy,
Lopez?
Garnett's the only guy. I probably give the nod slightly to Lopez. Or Chandler, to either of them, just because Lopez is doing more individually, and he's actually carrying that team, even with Joe Johnson and Deron Williams. He's having the best year of his career. I mean, he's you know, he's never a monster on the boards, but he's okay on the boards, averaging 2.5 blocks a game. He's scoring. He's their consistent leader, so I definitely would have given it to Lopez. And even Chandler. Chandler's playing D on
Chandler's
a better team.
Great.
So
a lot of double-doubles
I,
this year. And
yep.
he and listen, on the offensive glass, Chandler's amazing. those tip-outs, he keeps the ball alive for the Knicks. And, you know, he's not imposing because he doesn't have the weight that, you know, like a Shaq or, you know, some of these other big centers, even like a, you know, Duncan or Dwight Howard. But Chandler, he gives a toughness to the Knicks that, you know, especially now with Wallace and Camby banged up, they got to keep Chandler healthy because he's the glue. He's the glue to the Knicks as well as Jason Kidd. You know,
right.
And it's good to see Shumpert back, right? Congrats to Shumpert, 15 minutes and played well in the victory. I'm glad Shumpert's back. So, you know, I'm definitely excited about, you know, the Knicks, and, you know, we'll talk Monday about the matchup against the Brooklyn Nets. So that's that, you know, and next week we'll talk, you know, Ray and I will talk about the reserves. You know, they announce it next Thursday, so we'll get into that probably next Wednesday or next Friday, who we think it should have been or should be or whatever. Now, let's look out west. The fans, you the fans, voted in the backcourt, CP3, Chris, the Professor Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant. Then in the front court, Kevin Durant, of course, he's the probably second best player on earth, Blake Griffin, and then the third forward, but who's really a center, Dwight Howard. This one, Ray, I got some issues, but not in the backcourt and not at the three. It's at the four and the five. Griffin, not bad, 17 and 8, and Dwight Howard is you know, what, fourth in blocks, number one in rebounding, you know, top five, I think, in field goal percentage.
But on a team that's 3-4 games under 500, that's my problem.
They're like 10th in the West right now or 11th in the West. To me, you could have easily put in Gasol and Zebo. You could have put in Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Tim Duncan.
You could have put in Duncan. You could have put in
Look
Duncan.
Look at the numbers
and,
he's putting up. At his age, they've got, you know, what, they're going to be
second,
fighting Oklahoma City all year for that
second West,
best
right?
record. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're
right
behind the OKC and the Clippers. So
yeah.
That's you know, I mean, but what are you going to do, right? The fans, at least the coaches try to correct it. I think what happens, though, when the fans put in a Garnett and then put in like a Howard, it does, when you do the reserves, there's always one guy that probably should have been on the team that gets bumped off.
Well,
so that
I don't
be
know.
The controversy.
These guys, to me, these guys both would have made the team, right? Howard would have made the team, and Blake Griffin would have made the team, and Kevin Garnett would have made the team. So I don't have
backup.
A problem. I think.
Well, I guess you're right in that sense.
I think it's just a matter of the honor of starting. And at least they didn't pick a non-All-Star. But you're right. The fans, look, it comes down to philosophy, right? Some people say it's the fans' game. Give them what they want. But I think we put so much, A, we want to see the game, so I hear that. But B, we put a lot of stake in calling somebody an All-Star. So when we review them on Hall of Fame
right.
Friday, or when we say where you at
how many
Wednesday,
they had, yeah.
How many All-Star teams did you make, how many times were you first team All-NBA, how many times were you this, I think it's a big deal. So, yes, the fans should have a vote, but I think the coaches, the players, you know, the media, you know, it should be a third, something like that, because it's sacred to everybody, and not just the fans,
right.
The league, the players. So an All-Star
and it shouldn't be just a popularity contest, right? It shouldn't just be popularity. So I totally
right.
agree with that. And to me, you know, there's times where it's not about your past. It's about this year and the honor of what you're doing. And so when you look at a Memphis or a San Antonio and the season they're having, or, you know, you wouldn't do this, but let's say like a Jamal Crawford, he needs to be on the team, you know, with a lot of the injuries that they've had. Jamal Crawford's holding down the Clippers, and he's their best scorer, you know.
Hold
and he's
it down,
been consistent.
Jamal.
Oh, man, right? Michigan, man. The Michigan ball players, they've
one
you know,
year he was one and done at Michigan.
Listen,
it's
Michigan's
like,
has listen one. Listen, Ray, we're gonna have to do a show on the top five colleges that have put you know the best NBA players into the league. Because Michigan, North Carolina, you know, people could say Duke, Kansas, UCLA, Michigan, and Kentucky also. But Michigan has put in some ball players. Okay. They've put in some cash.
Well, they took a little break there. They had a 10-year period where they weren't so great. I mean, the 90s guys, the Fab Five and all those guys, and obviously the guys in the late 80s and Glenn Rice and all those guys, Ramil Robinson.
Lloyd Vaught.
Lloyd Vaught, yeah, sure. They had players, but now, heck, they might have some more with Trey Burke and Hardaway and Robinson. So, yeah,
oh, yeah. Michigan. No, no. Those are some future NBA players on that roster. So that's going to be quite exciting. And what's interesting about the All-Star game, you know, this year it's down in Houston. So I think that's, you know, good for them. And I'm sure they'll put on a good show. I just want to see, you know, we don't know, is this Garnett's last season? Is it Duncan's last season? So there's going to be some All-Stars that, you know, this might be their last game. And it's always a fun game, right? That's the best All-Star game is the NBA and the best weekend. So the NBA does it right. You just wish for once, LeBron would get in the dunk contest, but he never will. And it just sucks because every great player did it. David Thompson, Julius Erving, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Vince Carter, all
Dominique
the greats
Wilkins.
Have done it. Yeah, Dominique Wilkins, Tracy McGrady, they've all done it at least once, Ray.
Vince
I mean,
Carter.
LeBron lied on TV. He said, I'll do it. And he didn't do it. So I got no love for him for that one. So
you
listen,
say Oprah's going to put him to the wall against that? She's going to ask him if he used PEDs? And if he doped up, is Oprah going to come after him?
I don't know, man. But listen, you get on that couch with Oprah, you know, people start, oh, well, maybe he's not such a bad guy. But she, listen, I give it to her fair, right? She's done a good job. We'll see part two of the interview tonight. But she didn't let him off the hook. I mean, Oprah doesn't, you know, she doesn't throw you, you know, softballs. So,
no, she
I'll
did her homework, too. She was ready
yeah,
for
no,
him.
She definitely
he was ready
did
for her,
homework.
Too, though. He talked to his lawyers
yeah.
and his
– Oh, no, his lawyers have primed and propped him up like – because there's going to be lawsuits out the wazoo for Lance Armstrong. So, anyway, enough of the basketball. It's a football Friday. Let's take a quick break, and we will preview the AFC and NFC championships. I am hyped up, Ray and Tech.
Back to talk NFL championship weekend. So
let's
start
baby.
It off. 3:00 Eastern Standard Time in Atlanta, Georgia.
Georgia.
You have the San Francisco 49ers at the Atlanta Falcons. The number 1 and 2 seeds in the conference, so it
yep.
shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. The Falcons squeaked by last week. The Niners look better relative to their opponent. So, Tay, what are you thinking, man? I got to be honest with you. I've flip-flopped on this all week, but what are you thinking?
I'll say this. The Niners are, what, 3.5-point favorites in Atlanta? I find that
pretty
interesting and fascinating.
Yeah.
I'll say this. John Abraham had a good day at practice today. Saw interviews and reports about that and Dante Robinson. I think that the running backs are healthy. I think that they preserved, you know, both of them, Turner and Gore. I like what Atlanta was able to do last week against Seattle. Maybe they took the, you know, foot off the pedal a little bit and Seahawks, you know, came back. I think they have a confidence this year that they've never, you know, that they haven't quite had yet in their playoff experiences with Mike Smith and Matt Ryan. I think Gonzalez is playing out of his mind as a, you know, tight end and just a veteran who needs to get a ring. The receivers, their defense is not great, but it's good. But I do like Mike Nolan, great scheming. For the Niners, to me, man, it's really about Kaepernick and how he can play in this moment. It's not in San Francisco. It's on the road, and it's to go to the Super Bowl. So this is a new challenge. Not to say he'll choke or anything, but this is a new challenge. And I do think the Falcons' secondary, they got some speed out there, bringing in Asante Samuels and having Robinson. They got some players out there now. To me, the key is going to be, can they handle Kaepernick and Gore? and this, you know, spread read option. Can they get it to Crabtree and Vernon Davis?
And
Vernon
I think
Davis
they're 21st against the run, so they're not great,
yeah,
the Falcons. They've been
great. No, and this is look, the teams, they can all study each other and this and that. It's going to be in the trenches, the offensive, defensive line. But this is the one key. Justin Smith played 91 snaps. His arm is, you know, his arm is feeling better. He doesn't love the brace, but he's getting used to it, and he's a little bit healthier this week. And I just think at the end of the day, Matt Ryan seems to always make one or two bad decisions. And he did that again last week. And he kind of got lucky that he was able to have a chance to come back and pull this game out. But I don't think that same thing is going to happen with the Niners. And I think the Niners are just going to be a little bit too much, whether it's Gore, whether it's Kaepernick. I think combined they wind up with 250 yards rushing, and I just think they're a little bit too much. And I think they go in to Atlanta, the number two seed, and I think the 49ers pull this one out 27-24. Watch Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker both getting at least three receptions as well.
Okay. So
that's where I got to go. I'm going with the Niners, which is my Super Bowl champion, by the way. Tay's Super Bowl champion
Niners.
Is still alive.
Okay. So everything you said is valid. I can't say that I disagree with anything you said. To me, it comes down to how are these two teams going to react in the fourth quarter. It'll be a close game, I believe, and I believe there's a formula that Atlanta needs to follow to win this game. I think if you play this game 10 times, the Niners might win six. Even in Atlanta. So, to me, for the Falcons to win this game, I think they have to play from ahead. I think they have to get ahead. I think they have to have a little bit of play action with the running game and then draw in those safeties, go over the top. They have to keep the Smith brothers off of Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan can only afford to make one mistake, maybe one interception, so he needs to maybe throw three touchdowns, one interception. And Kaepernick is going to have to win this game for San Francisco in the fourth quarter. So I do believe that Atlanta can score against this San Francisco defense. San Francisco defense is good, very good. And the Atlanta defense is a little bit weaker. But I believe at the end of the day that this Falcon team will get up early, will maintain a lead, and I think Matty Ice in the fourth quarter is going to outscore Kaepernick. And I think in a relatively high-scoring game, that the Atlanta Falcons hold serve Dirty Birds, and they get your boy Tony Gonzalez a trip to the Super Bowl. So
what's
I actually like
the,
and I went back and forth on this because I said
no,
to
it's not.
Wow.
Listen. Either team could
easily win
this.
They're the number one seed. I mean, it's not outrageous. They're a little bit. You could call it disrespected at home. I mean, they're 13-3. They earned the number one seed.
And
they
listen, they have a great
the
secondary. I love their secondary, and they're tough. And Dante Robinson's a stud. So is Samuel. So it's going to be a battle. So what's your score?
Well, the problem is also that the problem for the Falcons, well, it could be good or bad. The versatile quarterbacks have given them a handful, right? They played
Cam Newton destroyed
twice, and then Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Now, the good thing is they've seen him five times, right? They played Cam four times.
But
they played
Seahawks
Cam
didn't
twice.
Really run that offense against them. So we got to say that they didn't really do the read option against them.
That's true.
His scrambles were from back passing.
So I like a high-scoring game. I like Atlanta scoring 31. And I like the Niners scoring 24. 31-24. Atlanta Falcons to 30.
That's a big
30.
7 points.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right. Well, listen, let's go to the next game, the AFC. A rematch of last year's AFC Championship, a rematch of a game this season, which the Ravens won.
31-30, yep.
this right here, yeah, with the controversial field goal, you know, this is special. Okay, this is Brady and Belichick. This is Ray Rice, Suggs, Nada, and Reed. There's a lot of football players on this field. To me, there's no surprises. This isn't the Houston Texans. They know how the Patriots hurry up their offense. They're ready for it. They stay on Welker and the receivers, and once they get the ball, they hit them. Now, in this game, Bernard Pierce, he's going to be a little banged up. So Ray Rice is going to get a majority of the carries, and that's fine. I don't think that that's even an issue for them because Ray can handle it. I think what it's going to come down to for me, it's the Ravens' offense. Can they get past McCourty and Aqib Talib, and can Jacoby Jones
playing very well
and Torrey Smith, can they extend the field and can they get the big play? Because with the Patriots, their defense is a little bit better this year. Chandler Jones a little banged up, but he'll probably play. Woodhead's going to play. You know, we all know Gronk's not there. But the thing this year is that you've really got to find a way to get the points. And is it going to be Pitta for the Ravens? Is it going to be Smith? You know, and this Patriot team, by any means, this offense can score. And everybody's saying, is Ray Lewis and these guys going to run out of steam and 87 plays, they're tired, this and that. I don't think so. I think they know this team. They were ready for this. They felt like they should have won it last year. They felt like they did win it. And I've been going back and forth on this, man. But I got to say, I'm going for Jack Harbaugh's kids to shock the world. And the
wow,
first time
okay.
Two brothers meet in the Super Bowl. And I've got the Baltimore Ravens, who I cannot stand. Shout out to Stacey and Jake. The Baltimore Ravens going to the Super Bowl to play the Niners. I have the Ravens winning this game. Flacco, 2 touchdown passes, 280 yards. I think Ray Rice gets about 100, Buck 05 rushing touchdown. I think the Ravens win 26-24. In a very,
okay.
very tight game. I just think Brady will do his damage, but I think they'll be able to affect him, control him enough, and they will at the end of the day. They'll miss Gronk just enough. I don't care about Vereen and Welker. They got something for him.
Wow.
Ellerbe.
Okay. So I think the Ravens are running on fumes. They played 87 plays in 2 straight games. New England led the league, averaging 74 plays per game. So if your defense, that's an aging defense, is out there for that many plays, they get run down and eventually break down in the second half. Now, if the New England Patriots had Gronk, this would be even more of a mismatch in terms of the older, you know, defense getting run down. Now, what's going for the Ravens is the Ravens know how to punch you in the mouth. And in fact, the Ravens are one of those few teams that not only beat the Patriots this year, but 2 years ago went
yeah.
up to New England and just punched them in the mouth. And they got up early
and
they really made life uncomfortable for 4 minutes. For 4 quarters. You looked at that game, and I felt uncomfortable. And I hate the Patriots. I'm not a Patriot fan at all. But I just felt uncomfortable. I felt like every play, you were just
contested.
Getting smacked. It was contested, and you were getting hit, and Brady was getting hit, and the linemen were getting hit, and the running backs were getting in. Everybody was getting hit. The difference here is I think the Patriots are on a mission. They lost last year to the Giants. They know that they have a reputation of being a little bit soft and not being able to, you know, it's like they have a glass jaw, you know, they have a soft chin as a boxer.
But now they can run it, right? Ridley and Vereen.
Exactly, and that's where I'm going with this. And one of the ways to neutralize it is the fact that they have the tap dancing Vereen in addition to Ridley. And
They're a
Woodhead.
Top 10 rushing team this year.
They are. And, again, Josh McDaniels and that offense, they are a very high-powered offense that keeps you on the field all game. And even though they don't have a Randy Moss to go over the top or a Gronk to go down the middle, they still have Brady, who will get it to Hernandez and who will get it to Brandon Lloyd and who will get it to Wes Welker and who will get it to Woodhead and Ridley and Vereen as pass-catching backs. So the Patriots are going to score their points. So if you think about how much pressure this puts on you as a Raven, I got to believe that the Patriots will score pretty safely, will score between 25 and 35 points, right? So if you're a Raven, you're thinking to yourself, we can't even kick field goals. We need to score touchdowns because I think Brady's going to score touchdowns. So to me, I think that adds a lot of pressure. And if Flacco – remember, Flacco threw for 330 the last game. 331,
three touchdowns.
Yeah, but remember that 70 yards was on that
I know.
That,
listen,
Hail
that's why
Mary.
I said 280. That's why I said 280. Yeah.
That was like 260, because if you take 70 off –
No, I'm saying I think he will get 280, yeah.
Oh, in this game. Okay, fair enough. And I think – New England, like Atlanta, I hate this because I'm a defensive guy. I love defense, and I think defense wins championships. And I'm actually betting against the two better defenses. Not
yes,
betting.
You are.
I'm putting money on the game, just prognosticating. So I
what's your score,
so
player?
I believe my score is very similar to the other score. I think 30-20. New England Patriots, and I think Brady.
You got blowouts in both your games. 7 and 10 point gap.
Blowout, you know.
Wow, it's a big gap.
I just don't think that the Ravens can score and keep up. If they could score.
They scored
31,
on the Broncos. The Broncos have a better defense than the Patriots.
That's true.
Patriots don't have a pass rush.
I think that's true. The Patriots don't have a pass rush. And so the question is, can those cornerbacks who are playing much better, can they hang and can Ninkovich and all the linebackers and Mayo and everybody, can they, Wolfork, stop the run? Can they keep everybody in front of them,
right,
keep Ray Rice in check, and basically make Pitta and Torrey Smith beat you?
Make them dink and dunk and make mistakes.
Yeah,
and that's the strategy. Belichick's a genius.
Drive.
That's what he has to do. Make Flacco dink and dunk. Don't let them get down the field and make him dink and dunk and make a mistake.
Right.
But listen, the one thing you got to consider. The one thing you got to consider is Ed Reed picking one off, because that's the man right there.
It's
so listen, we're going against each other on both. I have Niners Ravens. You have Falcons Patriots.
I
think
correct.
The fans would agree that they'd rather watch my Super Bowl than yours.
Depends on where you ask these fans.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, listen, let's get into our Top 5 Friday special segment. We'll go by position. It is the top players that have never won a Super Bowl. And you
keep
know
in mind,
the names.
Like we said in the earlier segment, so we've got, this is in sort of respect to Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed. Two Hall of Famers, no doubt Hall of Famers, who don't have a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, no, definitely. So let's sort of kind of go by position, right? Obviously, we'll start off with the QB. And our guy, who made it to one Super Bowl out of the University of Pittsburgh, Dan Marino, he's without question the first guy you think about when you think about quarterbacks and not winning the Super Bowl. And, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, it's Marino, you know?
Well, he also had the best comment where he said, frankly, he said, look, I got success so early in my career. I had that 5,000-yard season in my second year, went to the Super Bowl. I thought, I'll go to 5-10 of these. So I didn't. So I lost. So he lost to Joe Montana and the Niners, and he figured, no big deal, I'll be back.
But I'll be back.
Never even made it back.
It's not
so
promised.
Big Hank
right?
out there, we feel your pain.
We feel you, Hank. Well,
let's go to a guy who did make it. So you got a guy. So on the other end of the spectrum is Fran Tarkenton, a guy that made four Super Bowls.
4. We have two 0 for 4 guys on our
and
list,
Jim
right?
Jim Kelly, right there.
Jim
yeah,
Kelly.
Fran Tarkenton.
You know
Jim
what's so
Kelly.
Sad? Tarkenton, you felt like, he didn't always have the best, you know, he had Ahmad Rashad, but he didn't have the best running backs and, you know, and best receivers.
Eagle, the purple people eaters.
But he did have the great defense, and that's what really helped him get there, the purple people eaters, I was just going to say. And then with Kelly, he had all the offensive studs. I just think they just played against better teams because I don't think – I think they had a nice defense too, Cornelius Bennett, Bruce Smith, you know, and Bruce is another guy on our list, right? You know, but – sticking with the quarterbacks, those two, Fran and Kelly, wow, they really 0 for 4. That's got to hurt.
That's
now,
two of them are 0 for 8.
Oh, that,
you
got to
think
it's
about the
brutal
stories that they could have in a room. You put them in the room and they'll talk about the woulda, shoulda, couldas till
you. Well, you know, I got one other guy who, you know, the horrible loss, you know, to the Bills, and that's Warren Moon, another Hall of Fame quarterback who just never really had a defense. His best running back was, you know, maybe Alonzo Highsmith. I mean, they didn't have complete teams with the run and shoot. But Warren Moon, his best chance
Hayward
was actually the year that they lost to the Bills, you know.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Warren's probably thinking to himself, you know, if I had started my career in the NFL, didn't go up to Canada after University of Washington, maybe I would have had another few years
chances
to get to a Super Bowl. But, yeah, that must kill him. He's never even been to a Super Bowl. So the question is, if you put Dan Marino and Warren Moon in a room together, at least Marino's been to a Super Bowl, what's their conversation like, you know?
Man, I it's got to be hard. I mean, I think football is the type of sport where, you know, you want to get the ring. I mean, look, even Dilfer, right? He's got the ring.
Brad Johnson.
He could sit
Trent
there and
Dilfer
talk to Steve Young and talk with Steve Young on ESPN, and, you know, he got it done.
Steve Young
he wasn't
and
great,
Trent
but he
Dilfer
got it
have
done
the same number of rings.
Who said again? Who did
both,
you say? Trent Dilfer and who?
I said Trent Dilfer and Steve Young have the same number of rings.
Yeah.
They were both one for one in Super Bowls.
All right, so let's go to running back. Let's go to running back. Those are sort of our, you know, some of our quarterbacks. And, you know, there's other guys, but we're trying to get, like, the top 3, 4, 5 guys. Running back, right away, you think of Barry Sanders. I mean, he
barely
had
beat a dent in the playoffs, though. He was on those a lot of those 7 and 9, 8 and 8, 9 and 17.
Poor guy. He was all alone.
Scott Mitchell and Moore were his only other two.
Imagine
know,
if he switched places with Emmitt Smith and had their offensive line.
2,500 yards and, you know,
30 touchdowns.
Same number of Super Bowls, because I can't say that Emmitt Smith didn't have
yeah
the heart.
Oh, definitely
the
same number of Super Bowls. So you got Barry Sanders. I got to go with one guy that's old school, the first guy to get 2,000 yards, Orenthal James.
You didn't go Orenthal.
I had to go
Orenthal.
The juice, baby.
Wow.
Buffalo Bills, retired a Niner, but O.J. Simpson is one of the best running backs, college, pro, ever, period. And he didn't win a Super Bowl. He never had help. You know, he didn't have that much of a team. Great offensive line, good running game, but not much of a quarterback and defense. The Bills just couldn't, you know, he never got a chance to get it done.
Right.
And then
well,
our
here's
man.
Here's another couple for you. So what about if you want to go old, starting old to new? We talked about in one of our Where You At segments,
I was
got Earl Camp.
Where you at?
Only had 9
Earl
years, but Earl was the man with the Love You Blue Houston Oilers. Never made it to a Super Bowl. Neither did his boy, Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson's ED was happy. He was sweating a little bit. He thought AP might break his record.
The Rams
but
and Colts.
His Rams teams and the Colts at the end of his career, they didn't even – I think he played in an NFC Championship once, but never even made it to a Super
but
Bowl.
But Earl Campbell, right? They didn't have – if they would have had instant replay, I hate to admit it, my Steelers – would have lost that game with that catch that,
oh, yeah, Pisarcik, the catch in the end zone.
Yeah, from Pastorini, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the one that Earl would have been in the Super Bowl. And I was the 78 team, right? They
yeah, and then
the
and then the other running back, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, what yeoman's work did he put in the regular season? They had those great, great San Diego Charger teams. but
team.
Couldn't get over the hump with Marty Schottenheimer and then with Norv Turner. They just couldn't get over the hump, and he had talent with him. There were times where he was the number one, number two seed, number three seed in the AFC, but they just, for some reason, they couldn't beat the Colts. They couldn't beat, you know, whoever was in their way, the Patriots. Oh, man, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know he's kicking
himself. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go to receiver. But you know what I want to say real quick, and obviously we're not going that far back. The Super Bowl started 66, 67, but definitely Gale Sayers. You know, we just got to say Gale Sayers. You always got to say Gale Sayers, right? He didn't. He never won a championship. Yeah, Gale Sayers. And even Thurman Thomas. He was great, too. Another Hall of Famer. But a wide receiver, what a list, right? Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, who got there, Chris Carter. And Carter and Moss, 15-1, lost to that Falcon team that was a mess. They lost to Elway and the Broncos.
Anderson hadn't missed a field goal all year, and then he missed a little chippy, and then they do that, and then they had the whole thing with the scandal the night before
brutal.
The Super Bowl for Falcons in 99, and that was that Ray Lewis Super Bowl. Yeah, that was
a mess. But the Chris Carter, Randy Moss, that tandem, wow. You know, I mean, that was just, you know, when I think about some other, you know, top receivers, you could throw Andre Reed in there. You know, he's up for a Hall of Fame, you know, again. You know, and you just, you know, there were some great guys. But Moss and Owens, they're two of the best that you know, and Carter, that just didn't get that opportunity. So now we got to look at tight end.
Yeah, let's finish out the offense with tight end. So we said Tony Gonzalez. And then the other two that really come to mind are our boy, Kellen Winslow, and those
the
Air Coryell teams with Fouts and Jefferson and Joyner and Muncy. I mean, those were great offensive teams. Oh, boy, Kellen
and
Winslow.
And they lost in the freezing cold to Cincinnati to Ken Anderson.
Yeah. They played that great game the week before in Miami where Kellen Winslow had dragged off the field twice.
And extra point, yeah.
Yeah, and then
but you know what? It was too cold, and then the Bengals went ahead and played a good Super Bowl but lost to the Niners. I think it was 26-21 that Super Bowl. So now who's the other tight end you're going to say besides Winslow?
Ozzie Newsome.
Yes.
Ozzie Newsome.
The cardiac kid with Brian Seif. What? Oh, my God. Reggie Rucker. Ozzie Newsome. What?
Oh, boy, that warms your heart. So real quick, let's finish up the offense. I got a couple offensive linemen for you. I got John Hanna of the New England Patriots in the 70s and 80s, and Anthony Munoz on those Cincinnati Bengals teams that went to the Super Bowl twice and lost to the Niners.
Great
the
players.
At the end of the 80s. So, yeah, well, start us off on defense. Who you got?
Defense, I got to go right to, you know, Reggie White got his, but Bruce Smith never did. And we talked about him earlier. You know, the Buffalo Bill, great player. We already mentioned Ed Reed, but a linebacker, R.I.P., rest in peace to our man, Junior Seau, 0-2, lost with the Chargers.
And Derek Thomas.
Oh, gosh, and lost with the Chargers and the Patriots, and then Derek Thomas for Kansas City, one of the best linebackers ever. He just never got a chance. Oh, man, that's, you know, Champ Bailey.
And then another defensive tackle that we forgot about, Merlin Olsen, right, in the 60s and 70s, doing big
old school,
work.
Him and Deacon Jones,
Right, but Merlin Olsen doing big work out there for the Rams.
No, definitely. You know, it's fascinating that these guys, you know, but it doesn't take their luster, right? They're all Hall of Famers, and some of them are on their way to a Hall of Fame, but they're
right. And then DBs, right? We got a couple of DBs, probably.
Yeah, Champ
Bailey. Champ Bailey and Ed Reed. I mean, in terms of secondary players, probably the two that come to mind. Maybe Aeneas Williams, but it seems like at the other positions there are a lot more. Most of the DBs actually have won championships, right? Rod Woodson and Deion Sanders.
The real great ones, Ronnie Lott, Rod Woodson, Charles Woodson, you know. So listen, a great show. Watch some college hoops this weekend. Watch some NBA games. But watch the AFC and NFC championships. You know our picks. Ray, he's got the Falcons and the Patriots. And Tay has
got
the Niners and the Ravens. Let's do it, baby.
All right.
And
you
let's look
Lurita
for Maryland
ready
to win this weekend at the Tar Heels, too, baby.
All right. Well, we had a great time with you. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. We had a great episode. We had a great week We hope to see you again on Wednesday. On Monday.
Monday,
with a review of what went on in this fabulous weekend. So have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us, Ray and Tay, today.
Thanks for talking sports with friends. Take care.